Imagine waking up in 19th century rural France. You draw water from a well, rarely bathe, share a cramped bed with siblings, travel only by foot, gather firewood for fuel, and perform constant farm labor. Your life would resemble that of ancestors from three centuries earlier. Yet, your grandson in the early 1900s would live with electricity and gas heating, ride streetcars, contemplate buying a car, and vacation on the coast, a life more similar to ours than to yours. This dramatic contrast illustrates what Vaclav Smil calls grand transitions, five fundamental shifts in population, agriculture, energy, economy, and environment that created our modern world. These transitions didn't happen simultaneously or uniformly across societies. They followed S-shaped trajectories, beginning slowly with traditional practices, often continuing to gain importance even as innovations appeared. Consider American draft horses, which actually increased from 17.5 million in the 1880s to 26.6 million by 1917, despite automobiles and tractors already being introduced. Only by 1950 had their numbers fallen to 7.6 million, completing an 80-year transition. The demographic transition marks humanity's shift from high, unstable fertility and mortality to low, stable levels, a transformation as significant as democratic governance or industrialization. Pre-transition societies experienced birth rates of 40-50 per 1,000 people annually, with infant mortality exceeding 300 per 1,000 births. Even in late 19th century Europe, one-third of families lost a child. This transition varied across nations. France pioneered sustained birth rate decline in 1827, followed by Sweden, 1877, and Belgium, 1881. Later starting countries typically transitioned faster. China's fertility dropped from 6 children per woman in 1950 to 2.6 by 1980, while Iran shifted from 6.5 children to replacement level between 1979 and 2000. Declining infant mortality reduced the need for additional children to ensure family survival. The resulting demographic dividend emerged when falling fertility combined with growing working-age populations, creating a higher proportion of economically active people relative to dependents, a temporary advantage boosting productivity when supported by sound policies. Agriculture receives surprisingly little public attention, despite being fundamental to human survival, appearing in literature at just 0.004% frequency, far below population and energy. This indifference actually reflects agriculture's extraordinary success in feeding our growing population. The most decisive development has been agriculture's transformation from a purely solar-powered endeavor to a hybrid system dependent on fossil fuels and electricity. Traditional farming relied entirely on photosynthesis, while today's agriculture requires significant energy subsidies. Producing a single loaf of whole wheat bread needs about 2.8 MJ of energy, equivalent to 80 milliliters of diesel fuel. History's most consequential technical invention may be the Haber-Bosch process for synthesizing ammonia, 1913. Without this nitrogen source, approximately 45% of today's global population could not be fed. Our diets have transformed dramatically as well. Traditional societies derived up to 80% of food energy from staple carbohydrates, now reduced to less than a third. Meat consumption has soared. British supply rose from 35 kilograms per capita in 1850 to nearly 80 kilograms by 2000, while French consumption more than doubled during the 19th century, reaching nearly 100 kilograms by 2000. Fossil fuels and electricity were essential for agricultural productivity and nutritional improvements. Pre-industrial societies relied on inefficient biomass fires that wasted 90% of energy while creating severe indoor pollution, a problem still affecting over 2 billion people today. Coal extraction expanded dramatically in England from 25,000 tons in 1600 to 13 million by 1800, providing 90% of England's thermal energy by 1800. The global transition from coal to oil dominance occurred around 1967, bringing better energy density and portability. The electrical revolution began with Edison's first plants in 1882. Electricity's unique advantages, instant availability, cleanliness, reliability, affordability, and flexibility, eliminated physical labor while extending productive hours through improved lighting. Energy conversion efficiency rose from under 20% in 1900 to 50% today, while primary commercial energy grew 16-fold during the 20th century, useful energy availability expanded more than 40 times. Traditional economies grew minimally, fractions of a percent annually, concentrated employment in agriculture, and restricted material abundance to elites. British data shows virtually no growth before the 17th century, then brief acceleration to 0.8% before reaching only 1.2% during 1830s-1860s. The three-sector economic model describes transitions from primary sector dominance, agriculture, mining, to manufacturing, and eventually service sector predominance. The U.S. now has just 2% of workers in the primary sector, less than 13% in secondary, and over 80% in tertiary sectors. Gender disparities mark the service transition. UK women moved to services before men, outnumbering those in agriculture since the early modern era and manufacturing since 1860. British men only surpassed farming employment in the 1910s and manufacturing in the 2000s. Pre-modern life meant limited possessions, restricted travel, and minimal information about the wider world. In early 1700s France, families spent about 80% of income on food, still 75% by the 1760s. Urban conditions remain primitive into the 19th century, with workers living in crowded slums under harsh conditions. Humans began transforming Earth's environment millennia ago, starting with fire use 800,000 years ago, followed by megafauna extinction and land use changes beginning 10,000 years ago, including widespread deforestation across Asia and Europe. Between 1800 and 2000, global land cover shifted significantly. Forest cover increased in Europe and North America as coal replaced wood and agricultural intensification allowed marginal lands to reforest. However, deforestation persists in developing countries, though at decreasing rates. Many environmental changes are effectively permanent. Wild elephants won't return to North Africa, and Newfoundland cod stocks remain depleted despite fishing bans. Industrial fishing has been particularly harmful, expanding threefold into deeper waters and previously untouched species. The most significant environmental change is rising greenhouse gas concentrations. Atmospheric CO2 has increased from pre-industrial levels of 280 ppm to over 414 ppm by 2020. Despite the 1992 UN Climate Convention, emissions have grown substantially. Coal by 70%, oil by 37%, and natural gas by 83%. Media coverage has disproportionately focused on failures over accomplishments. Since the 1960s, numerous apocalyptic predictions received attention, yet none materialized. While skepticism toward catastrophic claims is advisable, blindly assuming future improvement is equally unwise. The scale of required transitions is staggering. For Africa to replicate China's post-1980 energy rise would require a tenfold consumption increase. Matching China's steel consumption would demand 50-fold production growth. Lifting 5 billion people to global mean affluence would require energy and material increases at least twice as large as China's transformation. The notion we can predict the world of 2100 is absurd. Looking back to 1940 reveals how much was unimaginable then. No antibiotics, contraceptives, high-yielding cereals, nuclear reactors, or renewable technologies. Our grand transitions have brought humanity to a crossroads. The 21st century will likely involve a contradictory mix of innovation and delay, adaptation and inaction. Our challenge isn't predicting an unknowable future, but creating one that balances human prosperity with planetary boundaries, perhaps the grandest transition yet to come.